Now, I'm sure that most of you are Christians, and I wonder if somebody said to you, "Tell me about God," I wonder what you will say to them. I wonder what your answer will be. Some of you perhaps might say, "Well, God is good," and you'll be right. But if that person then said to you, "Well, how do we know that God is good?" I wonder, what will you say? How will you answer? Some of you might say, "Well, God is love," and you'll be right. How do you know? Well, He sent His Son. Excellent. What else did God do to show His love? Silence. I think it's good for us to know this God that we believe in, what this God is like. Because what we think about God will affect our relationship with God, how we relate to Him. And what we think of Him will affect how we relate to Him. And so tonight, I want to look at an aspect of God's character with you. There's no great doctrines tonight, no great challenges. I just want to, as it were, for us to just, you know, look at who God is. And hopefully, you know, God, you know, will minister to us. The passage that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you know, God is about to bring, you know, the Israelites into the promised land. Now, He tells them to destroy all the inhabitants of those lands that they are taking possession of. He warns them of the danger of sparing them, that if they spare these people, they will become a snare to the Israelites. You know, they will turn the Israelites from following after God and going after idols. They will become unfaithful to God. And I want to talk to you about faithfulness tonight. God is a faithful God. Our God is a faithful God. And I find that very encouraging. Nowadays, all around us, you know, there's unfaithfulness on all sides, don't we? In business, there was a time when, if you were in business, you know, you shook hands and your word is your bond. And that was it. You know, it stood. But today, now we have to, you know, get lawyers and drop all these very protracted, you know, contracts and so on. You know, because of the possibility of people breaking their word, because of the possibility of people being unfaithful. And we find the same in marriage nowadays. You look all around you, infidelity abounds all around us. You know, people have no regard whatsoever to their marriage vows and marriage bonds anymore, and they think they can do whatever they like. You know, when they came and they got married and they, you know, they took that vow, forsaking all others, "I take you to be my lovely wedded wife or husband." Sooner or later, they say they're in love with somebody else. Doesn't make sense to me at all, does it? Well, that's the world we live in today. That's the kind of world we live in today. What about in the church? We find there's infidelity in the church as well. You know, ministers, those that, you know, felt that God has called them, and then they made a promise to God, you know, that they would preach, you know, the truth, that they will, you know, be faithful to God in their ministry and so on. Sooner or later, we find them, you know, denying, even attacking the same truth that's supposed to be preaching. And then when we look at ourselves, we've been very unfaithful to God in so many ways, haven't we? We've been unfaithful in so many ways. And it's very encouraging to know, in the midst of all that, that there's someone who is faithful. There's someone who is faithful. To be faithful means to be trusted. It means to be reliable. That's what it means. And the Bible tells us that God is faithful. Now, in the passage that we read, you know, we read in verse 8. You know, the Lord speaks to His people and He says to them that He has chosen them. You know, because the Lord loves you and God is keeping, you know, the oath, the covenant which He swore to your fathers, that he has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and so on. And we find, you know, that you know, God has fulfilled the promise He made to their fathers, and now He's fulfilling that promise to them by bringing them out of Egypt and taking them to the borders of Canaan to give them, you know, their inheritance. You know, way back in Genesis and chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, the Lord, made it quite clear that they will go into slavery, you know, for 400 years. But Lord said at that time as well, I will bring you out at the right time. And we find God fulfilling that promise now. God is faithful. God kept his word to them. Now, God is faithful in all things. In all things, God is faithful. God is faithful in what he says. The Bible is very, very clear about this. In everything that God says and God that God is saying, he's very faithful. Psalm 19, verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That is, it is reliable and can be trusted. Psalm 119, verse 138. Thy testimonies which thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. God is faithful in all things. God is faithful in all that he does. And God is faithful at all times. There's never a time when God is not faithful. There will never be a time when God will stop being faithful. He is always faithful. That means that God can be trusted in all things and at all times. This quality is essential to God and to God's being. Without it, God will not be God. For God to be unfaithful will be contrary to his nature. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of God. God always remains faithful. See, God can never be unfaithful because he never changes. He never forgets. God never fails. He never goes back on his word. That is why he's always faithful. He has fulfilled every promise that is ever made. And there are so many of them. The one that you and I will know, best was when a man fell. At the time he was cursing the serpent, he made a promise that he will send us a savior. And God has kept his promise. Such a long, long time, God didn't forget. At the right time, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And he came, to redeem us from our desperate situation. The Lord made a promise in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22 that he will always provide for our needs. And he hasn't broken that promise till this day. See, God is a faithful God. And this is good news for the Christian. This is good news for the Christian. Let me look with you at three ways in which God has shown, his faithfulness to us, and the way he continues to show his faithfulness to us. First of all, God is faithful in his relation with his people, in the way he relates to us. And God does that through his word. God has given us many precious promises. Question is, would he really fulfill them? Can he be expected to do for us all that he has said? The answer is a resounding yes. God may be safely relied upon. In all the millennia that man has existed on earth, no one single person can ever say that God has let them down and make it stick. Nobody. Nobody. No one ever trusted God in vain. This is the basis of our confidence in him. We read, in Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confidence of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We can hold on to him. We can take him at his word. He never, lets anyone down. There are times in our lives, when things are not easy. It's not easy to believe in God's faithfulness. You might perhaps, you know, be going through some difficult times, and you probably say to me, Paul, how can you stand there and tell us that God is faithful? You don't know my situation. You don't know how difficult my situation is. And for a long time, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I've asked God to intervene in my situation, and nothing has happened. How can you stand there and say that God is faithful? Well, if you're in that situation, you know, my heart goes out to you. I know that sometimes life could be very tough. Life could be very tough. And some people go through very, very difficult times in life. Nevertheless, I have to say to you that God hasn't let you down. God has not let you down. You see, sometimes God's purposes are not things that we understand. God hasn't let you down. We've just been singing, haven't we? Let me read out to you what you were singing earlier on in the last hymn. When through the deep waters I cause you to go, the rivers of grace shall not overflow you. I will be with you in your troubles to bless you. You see? And I will sanctify to you your deepest distress. So even though you're going through difficult times, God is with you in that situation. God never, ever, anywhere in the entire scripture promised that we'll have a very rosy life, that, you know, we'll have everything go right for us all the time. You won't find that in the Bible at all. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace is all sufficient, you know, shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design in your dross to consume and your gold to refine. You might not be aware of what God is doing, but, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's a faithful God. In Isaiah chapter 43, I think, he talks about his people. He says, when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. No, the rivers will not overflow you, for I will be with you. Not saying if, but when. But when? We all go through difficulties. And the Lord is assuring us that he's with us. He's with us, you know, at those times when we're going through difficulties, when we find it difficult to trust him. No, please hang on to God. He's a faithful God. These are there are times of trials. You know, when tears, you know, becomes, you know, our companions, when we grow and sigh and have many questions, it's very, very difficult at that time, you know, for some of us to believe God. There are times when things haven't gone according to our plans, when friends have, you know, on whom we relied, they've let us down, and Christians who betrayed us. And we wonder, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? You can imagine the people in the Philippines asking the same questions now. Where is God in this situation? We are staggered, you know, by these difficulties. Has God failed? No. No, God has never failed. Has God stopped being faithful? Not at all. Not at all. Listen to a hymn. Says, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. We may not understand, you know, what is happening, but God is still faithful, and we need to trust him still. Think about a man like the Apostle Paul. God gave me a thorn in the flesh, you know, whatever it was must be very, very, and he prayed, Lord, you know, please take it away. God didn't take it away. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul was happy, you know, and he continued, you know, serving God. He didn't, you know, shake his fist in God's face and say, well, if that be the case, well, I'm not serving you. No, not on your life. No. He accepted the situation. You know, he knew that God was behind it, that God knew what he was doing, and he carried on serving the Lord. God will bring about his purposes in your life without fail. Trust him. He is a faithful God. Secondly, God is very faithful in the way that he preserves his people. What do I mean by that? When someone becomes a Christian, God has promised But he will be with them, you know, through every difficulties that they go through till, you know, they get to glory. Hebrews 13 and 15. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. I will not forsake you, God says. God will keep you. God will keep you. You will never fall away. If God has done a work of grace in your heart, you will never, never fall away. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son. He's faithful. He called you. The apostle's confidence is in the absolute security of believers. The apostle's confidence in the absolute security of believers is not found in their strength or in their resolution. No. Not in their ability to persevere. No. But in the truth that he who called cannot lie and that he is faithful. So many texts in scriptures that we can look at. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. You know, he who began a good work in you, what did he say? He will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will preserve you. He will not, you know, let you go. John's Gospel chapter 10 verse 28. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. God will keep you. God will preserve you. Yes, you might even backslide and, you know, for a while. You know, but God, in his mercy, will bring you back. God will, like the prodigal son, comes a time when, you know, after going through such difficulties, you know, God, you know, will call you back unto himself. God will never let one of his children go. It is not possible. It is not possible. Not if God himself has done such a work in their hearts. Romans chapter 8. 35 following, you know, what can we say? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing at all. Nothing in the entire universe will be able to separate us from the love of God. God will preserve you. Now, many of you have been Christian very long time. So very encouraging, you know, to see that. You've been on the road for such a long time. Let me ask you a question. Have you persevered so far, you know, because of... because you read the Bible? Or because you pray a lot? Or what? No. No. The reason you have persevered is because God himself keeps you. He guides you and he holds you. He holds you. That's why you've persevered so far. You've been through many trials in your life. But God has not let you go. He's kept you. Many of you, you can testify to some of the difficulties you've had in your life and how through it all, you know, God has been with you and God has brought you through on the other side. So the only reason that you've persevered is because of God. And we have so much to thank God for. Those of us, you know, who've been Christians such a long time, and even those who have just been on the Christian road, we have so much to thank God for. When I look back over my own life, I'm surprised that, you know, God has kept me. I've got so much to thank God for. For a Christian, you've got so much to thank God for. It's good from time to time for a Christian to look back. Psalm 44. Lord, we've heard what you've done in the past. You know, we've been told these things, to look back. And that's what you find in the scriptures, in the Psalms. They look back over the time in the wilderness, over how God has dealt, and you know, it results in thanksgiving and praise and gratitude to God for all that God has done for them. And so should we, as Christians, to spend time from time to time, not all the time, but once in a while, just pause and look back and see where we've come from, how far God has brought us, and we realize that God has been faithful to us. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your excellent faith. And it goes on to say, the soul that on Jesus had leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, God says, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's what the hymn writers penned, and it's very correct. God will never let you go. If you are a child of God, very precious to Him, He will not let you go, no matter what you go through in your life. Now, does that mean that, we can do whatever we like and live whatever way we want? That's the question sometimes people ask me. If it's true that, God will not let me go, and He will, help me to persevere to the end and so on. Well, can I do whatever I like? Well, I think it's a very, very naughty question, to be honest. If God has done a work in you to bring you to Himself, God will give you a desire to live for Him. God will give you a desire to please Him. Ezekiel 36 and verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe all my ordinances. You can't just do as you like. No, you want to love the Lord. You want to love Him more. You want to please Him. You can't just go and do what you like. No, God will watch over you and keep you and bring you, to His abode. He's a faithful God in preserving His people. Thirdly, and this is one we don't like, God is very faithful in that He disciplines His children. God disciplines His children. That's a very nasty word in our society today. The word discipline, I don't like it. See, but not so with God. The one who is all wise, He disciplines His children. You see, being a child of God carries a lot of advantages, tremendous privileges. To be a child of God, we take God's name on ourselves. God provides for our needs. In fact, we're told that at the end of our time, there's an inheritance waiting for us. There are tremendous privileges that God, has given to us. But the other privilege is discipline. Discipline. God will not fail to discipline His children. And the book of Hebrews, is very, very clear about that. In verse 5 of chapter 12, my son, it says, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by Him. For the Lord disciplines him whom He loves, and chastises every son whom He receives. This is the opposite of what society is saying. If you love your child, well, don't touch them. You might damage them. You will cause a cycle of abuse. You will do this, you will do that. Can't separate, abuse, from a loving, chastisement, which is very sad. But God will discipline His children. He will not just let them go. No. No. And God's discipline comes in so many ways. Sometimes, He denies us things. Or sometimes, He sends trials to us. This is why sometimes we go through difficult times. He sends trials to us. God is faithful in what He withholds from us, and just as much as what He gives to us. God is faithful in sending sorrow to us as much as giving us joy. The faithfulness of God is a truth that we must confess at all times, even when we are smarting, under God's rebuke, must, confess that God is faithful. And God smites us in faithfulness. In faithfulness. Psalm 117. Psalm 119 and verse 75. I know, the psalmist says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. That's what the psalmist says. And God afflicted him, but in faithfulness he did that. And to acknowledge this means that we need to humble ourselves before him, own that we fully deserve his correction, because he's a loving father, and he treats us as his children. Now, this doctrine of God's faithfulness is very important. And if we grasp it, it will lead to four things, and with this I'll finish. First of all, it will keep us from worry. When we understand, you know, God's faithfulness, it will keep us from worry. When we profess faith in Christ, we committed our lives to Him, believing that He has our best interest at heart. As time goes on, sometimes, you know, we face problems and we become perplexed. Has God changed? Not at all. Has He stopped caring and loving us? Not at all. So to be, you know, full of care and anxiety, you know, really denies, you know, God's faithfulness. To see our situation with fear, to look forward to tomorrow with sad anxiety, reflects badly on God's faithfulness. We sang that hymn, "We expect a bright tomorrow." Hallelujah. You know, we do. This life can throw so much at us, but only so much. Despite it all, our future is assured. We expect a bright tomorrow. What God, you know, has got in store for us. Oh, Paul says that it makes all the suffering of the present time not worth comparing. What God has got in store for us. We expect, yes, a bright future. You know, some of you, you know, who are a lot older than me, I ask you, God has not forsaken you in your old age. He has cared for you throughout all your life. Do you think that God is going to forsake you now in your old age? I don't think so. He will be with you. He will not forsake you. You can trust Him because He is faithful. You can trust Him. No matter what your situation is at the present time, you can trust Him. The psalmist says something that, you know, really encourages me. You know, as I grow older, it encourages me anyway. It says this in Psalm 35 and verse 25. Psalm 37, verse 25. "I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread." This is a testimony of somebody that's, you know, walked with the Lord such a long time. In his old age, he now comes and he testifies to the fact that God is faithful. And God has been faithful to him all his life, and God continues to remain faithful to him. God will care for you. He who has heard your prayers over so many years will continue to hear your prayers and will not refuse to supply your needs at the present time. God is faithful. You can trust him. You can trust him, as he says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. That God is faithful. Know therefore, the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. That God is the same God. He hasn't changed. He is a faithful God. An understanding of God's faithfulness will prevent our murmuring. Oh, we're very good at that, aren't we? The Greek word for murmuring is a terrible word, isn't it? Gungushmu. Terrible words. And we usually murmur when things are not going well for us. Somehow we have this idea that all things should go well for us at all times. As I said, God never promised that. You can search the entire scriptures and you will not find one single text that says, if you're a Christian, things will always go well for you. Unlike some section of Christians are saying, if you're a Christian, you have to have the best of everything. You know, you must have perfect health. You must have this. You must have that. It's not there. It's not there. I find the opposite. You know, when I read my Bible, and I've read it from cover to cover, I don't know how many times, and I've never come across anything of the sort. All this health and wealth is not taught in scriptures. It's not there at all. You can look for it, but you won't find it. In fact, we are told that things will not always go well for us for various reasons. But the important thing is to realize that whatever happens, God is in control and we can trust Him. and we'll stop murmuring. Now, when you take the Israelites, for example, oh, they were such moaners, aren't they? They murmured so much against God. Even though God has proved faithful to them time and again, they murmured at the Red Sea when they got there. What's going to become of us now? So they murmured against God. They murmured at, you know, about the bitter water at Marah. They complained about hunger in the wilderness of Sin. They murmured about lack of water at Rephidim. They murmured because they did not trust God. God proved himself to them time and again, but they still murmured. And time and again, they doubted God. God is faithful. God is faithful. We can trust him. We're no different, really, when it comes to it. We're not really. We're no different. Despite God's gracious dealings with us in the past, we still murmur against him when things are not going too well for us. The Lord knows what is best for us. And one effect of resting on his faithfulness will be the silencing of our complaining. Our murmuring will stop. May God teach us, you know, to trust him. Thirdly, to understand God's faithfulness will give us increased confidence in God. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their soul to a faithful Creator. That's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. When we trustfully resign ourselves and all our affairs into God's hands, fully persuaded of his love and faithfulness, the sooner shall we be satisfied with his dealings with us and realize that he does all things well. Lastly, a good understanding of God's faithfulness will result in real gratitude. God does not owe us anything. We don't deserve his love, his mercy, and faithfulness, and yet that is what he has lavished on us time and again. Grumbling is evidence of an ungrateful heart. Again, take the Israelites, as I said, every time they murmured against God, they were very ungrateful. But for the Christian, we don't do that. We shouldn't do that. We have a good God, a great God. Would you trust him? Would you trust him in your situation, even when things are not going well? That he knows exactly what he is doing. Some of you, perhaps, you don't know this God that I've been talking about. This God is strange to you. It's a gracious God. It's not only faithful, it's a loving God. And he demonstrates his love for us in sending his son to die for us. And when we trust him, he forgives us. He makes us his children. And he keeps us. And he will be faithful to us. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, oh, I plead with you. Think about what Christ has done. His suffering on the cross for a sinner like you. Come to him. Ask him to forgive you. Repent of your sins. And the Lord will forgive you. He will fill you with joy. He will give you his peace. You will become his child. And everything we've been saying tonight will be yours as well. Please don't leave it. It might be too late. If you don't know the Lord, trust in him today. Today, not tomorrow, today. Give your life to him. May God bless you all. May God help you to realize that God is faithful. And may you learn to trust him and to prove him. Amen.